Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome today to the Living Savior Church. We're so glad to have you today. You know, after all the studying I've done this last few days, I am beginning to wonder, do I believe this book really means what it says? You know, the more I study it, the more awesomely powerful this book is. And I think, Lord, from your promises, if I believed all these things, gee, what I could do, huh, Bill? I mean, you know, you've been reading it too, right? Yeah, and I'm trying my best to teach people the principles of the kingdom. And today, I want us to start out in the Word of God. And I want you to realize this is our Lord's book, is it not?
Yes.
Did he write this book?
Yes.
Is he the one that made us these promises?
Yes.
Then we should be able to make these promises work. The book is so powerful. I've come to realize that almost nobody believes this book. I mean, I know for years I didn't believe the book. And of course, the most difficult thing about the book is believing with no doubt in your heart that God would do something to your physical body that you can't see him. In other words, when I think about all these things and how it works, I can just look across this room and I can look at the number of people. I can remember, just like I look at my own wife here, the first time that she came to a healing school. And she came up and she said, I've read this article that you wrote about your daughter and granddaughter and how you raised her from the dead. And so she said, I have an incurable disease and I want to be rid of it. I said, okay. I said, first of all, what you have comes because of sin. And she said, okay. And so I said, you have to repent of that sin. And so she did. She repented of that sin. And then I laid hands on her and commanded that spirit to leave and for her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I didn't have any idea that within about 3 more years, this woman was going to be my wife. But at that time, she was not my wife. But God knew what he was going to do with her, and he healed her that day of that disease. And of course, you know, when she got healed, then she started coming to my church all the time, listening to what I was teaching. And she was hearing things like she had never heard before. And she would tell her mother every Sunday after church on the way home, she would pick up her cell phone and call her mom and tell her, Mom, I learned this in church today. And her mom thought her daughter had lost it. She literally thought she was crazy. In fact, I got an email from a pastor this week, and he said, I've been listening to you for several years. He said, I will have to say, when I first started listening to you, I thought you were crazy too. But he said, everything you said was in my Bible. So he said, I just recently have started teaching in my church the sin-sickness relationship. And he said, boy, am I catching some flack. But he said, it's in the book. Well, that's the whole thing. It is in the book, isn't it? But you know, not only is the sin-sickness relationship in the book, there's a lot of awesome, good promises in there that we don't even begin to learn to stand on. But yet, as his obedient church, the body of Christ, which is you and I, those of us that are walking in integrity with God, we're reading his word, these promises are all for you and me. And they're here. Now, I want us to talk about some of these today. I want to start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23. And I want us to see here. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you. Now, wait a minute. What did he just say belonged to me?
Everything.
To you?
Yes.
We don't believe that. We really don't believe that. I mean, is that what he really said?
Yes.
I mean, is it written?
It is.
So Gracie, what belongs to you? Oh my goodness, that's too good to be true, isn't it? Is that kind of hard to grasp? But it says, so don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you. Whether you're Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you. So what belongs to you?
Everything.
Isn't that amazing? That every life and death belongs to us. Why do we hear people then that are Christians go around saying, well, how are you doing today? And when I ask them, I've learned a long time ago, be very careful how you ask people that question. Even Christians, how are you doing today? Because some of them will stop and give you a 30-minute sermon on how they feel. Well, I don't feel too good. I'm having this kind of problem, or I don't have enough money to meet my bills this week, you know, or I got a back pain, or I got a headache, or I mean, and go on and on for 30 minutes. And I just stop and think, well, why don't you take authority over those things? Everything belongs to you. Is that right?
Yes.
It's real easy for people to say, well, you know, I'm 60 years old now. I'm getting over the hill. I guess I won't live much longer. Have you ever heard people talk like that? I have heard people talk like that. You know, I mean, it's amazing. We speak death. If death belongs to us and we go around saying, well, I don't guess I'm going to live much longer, what do you think your body's going to do eventually? It's going to die. It's going to give up and die, you know. Somebody come in a while ago and said, Pastor, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm absolutely wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving. And they stopped and turned, wow. Well, is that the way we should be? I mean, as Christians, if everything belongs to me, Betty, how should I be feeling every day?
Happy.
Absolutely happy, fantastically wonderful, and rapidly improving, right? I mean, if it all belongs to me, but I have to believe that, don't I? Now, is that what he said? Do you see, as I'm studying the Word, meditating on the Word, studying these promises, and many of them I've got locked in my heart, and I have to go back and look them up again, I think, you know, if I really believe this book, what would be impossible with me? That's absolutely right. Nothing. So why do we go around as children of the King talking about defeat all the time? Why do we go around crying about things when we have dominion and authority and power over everything? It all belongs to us. We don't live our life like everything belongs to us, I guarantee you. We live like we're beat up and defeated. If we only knew what belonged to us, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Is the world yours? Is life yours? Is death yours? So you need to be careful how you speak about that death, right? So how long are you going to live? Well, you know, a long, long time. I'm going to have a good, healthy, long life. I'm going to be strong and healthy. I mean, I remember when my dad was 50. I was 15. And I knew at 50, my dad, I was 35 years younger than my dad. Yeah, my dad was 35 years older than me. But when my dad was 50 and I was 15, if you'd asked me, I knew my dad was an old man at 50. I thought anybody that was 50 was old. You know what I mean, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you're 50, you got to be ancient. I never thought about when I would go out there and see. Now, a barrel of diesel, my dad, of course, you know, he had a pump in his truck, and he'd usually carry two barrels of diesel because he had a bulldozer. And many a time I would see him go out there. Now, I can't do this today. It's been a long time since I've been able to do this. But way on up, at least in the 60s, when he was 60 years old, go out there in a 55-gallon barrel of diesel, which weighs about 350 pounds. I've seen my dad tilt that barrel over onto the tailgate of his pickup and reach down and get the ring and flip that barrel right side up and set it right in the back of that pickup. I've seen him do that, and he done that just like it was just normal. I said, Dad, isn't that barrel heavy? He said, no, it's not heavy. It's not bad at all. I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, you just grab a hold of it and do it. I said, well, don't you need some help? He said, son, when you work by yourself, you ain't got no help but God. So he said, you know, you just lean on the Lord to help you. So I guess my dad called on the Lord to send him angels, I guess, because I've known a lot of young men that is 30 years old or 20 years old that can't tilt one of them 350-pound barrels up in the back of a pickup today. But, you know, you can do things that's beyond your normal physical abilities if you call on God. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to be like Dave said a while ago, you know, Lord, I want to do this by myself. And the Lord says, now that's pride. Now, that's the way we are as men and as women, too, I'll have to say. But just think, everything belongs to us. If we just meditated on that one set of scriptures right there, literally, that's almost more than you can stomach, isn't it? I mean, that everything on this earth belongs to you. Life is yours, death is yours, the world is yours, everything is yours. So we should be able to meditate on that. Verse 23, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So now see, these promises are only yours if you belong to Jesus. How many of us in here belong to Jesus? Okay, now if you don't belong to Jesus, well then it won't work for you. But if you belong to Jesus, then you're attached to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is my Lord and my Savior, and I belong to Him. Okay, now I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 1, 18, 19, and 20. And as sure as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Thylas, Timothy, and preached you, and as God's ultimate yes, He always does what He says. Let's look at verse 20. For some of the promises of God... No. Now, wait a minute. Is there any difference between some and all?
No.
Oh, there is. Well, now we must read it like some. I mean, just look what that says. For if all the promises of God in Him or in Christ are yes, then in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us, if all of these wonderful promises we're going to talk about is yes to us every time, then why do they not work for us? Or why do we not call Him in remembrance of these things? There's something wrong here, isn't there? Probably the big problem here is lack of knowledge. I mean, just like I say, I've said this a lot of times at a healing school especially. I said, you know, today I'm going to lock the front door and ain't going to let nobody out until, and I'm going to hand each one of you a notepad and you can't get out until you've written me down your favorite 100 verses. Now, that's not very many, is it? I mean, the Bible's got thousands of verses in it. Surely all of us could write down at least 100. No, we can't. Some of us will still be here next week. We'd get awful hungry next week. We might have to do what Dave said. That would be cheating. We might have to ask God, I got to have some help here. I don't know 100. But I got a feeling that's our problem, don't you? I got a feeling that that's a problem we do not know. In fact, some people have memorized so much of God's Word. It is so awesome how much of the Word of God some people memorize. And did you know some of those people that memorize it, even when they quote it, they still don't know what it says? I see people all the time that will quote something, maybe just like a verse like this. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen unto the glory of God by us. And then I ask you a question. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. It's just like the other day when we were talking about, don't you know that you will judge the world? You will judge angels? There was a man that was a school superintendent. He had a PhD, and his wife had a regular, maybe a master's degree. And she was a school teacher, and he was the superintendent. And they were in a Bible study I was in one time. And I quoted that verse in 1 Corinthians 5 about, do you not know that we will judge angels, we will judge the world? And I said, what do you think that means? And you know what? Both of them looked at me and said at the same time, I have no idea. Well, what did it just say? You will judge angels, you will judge the world. So if it says you will judge angels, you'll judge the world, what does it mean you're going to do? You're going to judge angels, you're going to judge the world. You may not understand the fullness of it, but at least a good place to start is to believe what God said is what you're going to do. Right, Mary? That would be a good thing to do. Well, if all these promises of God in Christ are yes and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us, then when we speak His word, we should believe what we say with no doubt in our heart. But you listen to us talk. You just listen to us. We'll come in and say, Thurman, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for my son. I need you to pray for my daughter, whatever it is. And I say, okay, I'll pray. And then they will walk off and say, well, I sure do hope that works. Did they believe? No, they did not. They did not. I guarantee they did not. Some people will ask you pray, and then they'll ask you, do you believe? And you say, well, I hope so. Maybe. If it's God's will. No, it won't never work like that. Because God is a faith God. He expects us to believe in faith, nothing wavering. Is that tough? Is that tough? To believe with no doubt in your heart. Yes, in fact, I will tell you one time, I had a leg that was really burned really bad, my left leg, when I was working as an engineer. A guy blew a boiler down one time, and from my knee down into my foot, I got first, second, third degree burns on my whole leg. And in my later years, I've had a little bit of trouble with that leg. One morning, I woke up, my leg was burning, and I kind of looked at it, and it was all red and had some bloodshot stuff on it and everything. And I was looking at my leg, and Cheryl kind of woke up, and she says, what are you doing? I said, well, my leg is burning a little, so I'm looking here to see. And I said, it looks like I got maybe some blood clots in it or something. I said, Shine. She jumped up and looked at that, and man, she attacked me like a duck on a June bug. I mean, that girl, let me get my oil. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. Now, that's the kind of woman to be married to, let me tell you for sure. because she believes her prayers are going to get answered. And so she prayed for me. After she prayed, she said, "Now get back in that bed and elevate your feet 6 inches. I said, "There ain't no way." I said, "Sick people stay in bed. Well people go to work." She said, "But you got a blood clot." I said, "But I just had a wonderful wife sound like she knew what she was talking about. Pray for me." So it's done. It's gone. I mean, this girl, she's got faith. Now that she's doubting her own self. See, when she tells me, "Get back in that bed." I said, "No, honey, I ain't getting back in that bed. I'm going to work." "But honey, you know, if that is a blood clot and one of them come loose, it could go to your heart and kill you." Now, that's the wrong confession. Now, how many of us do that, though? You stop and say, how many of you like that? I mean, you got all kinds of faith, just like my wife does. She prays over me. After she prayed over me, you know what she should have done? She should have slapped me on the butt and said, "Get up and go to work. I prayed for you." Is that the way it should be done?
Amen.
Now that if you got real faith, is that the way we should do it?
Amen.
That is the way we should do it, but that's not the way we do it. But anyway, she tried to entice me every way in the world to get back in that bed and lay down and elevate my feet 6 inches. And I told her, "No, I'm going to work." And so I went to work and I worked all day and I come in late that afternoon. It was hot. She's coming. She says, "How's your leg?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I hadn't looked at it." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "By faith, that woman that prayed for me this morning, I believed I was healed." I said, "Since I got such a great woman of faith, and she prayed for me with such boldness and rebuked the spirits and everything else, I believed I was healed." So I said, "My leg's got to be good." "Well, you hadn't looked at it?" I said, "Absolutely not. I hadn't looked at it." She said, "Well, I want to look at it." I said, "Okay." So we go in, and I put my bridge's leg up, and she looks, and she says, "Wow, it's perfect." I said, "Well, woman, what'd you expect? You prayed for it." Now, then, do y'all see what I mean about how we walk in unbelief? Even with all the faith this girl's got, she's still got that unbelief to a degree. I tell you what, if it had been a few years ago, you know what I'd have done? I'd have just crawled back in bed and said, "Oh, okay, let me elevate my foot, you know, put the pillow under my foot, and I'll just stay at home today. I deserve to stay at home today anyway." You know, that's the way we think. Is that right? We don't believe these promises of God. This is the way we read it. For some of the promises, sometimes, or yes, we don't read it like it reads. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, is that a pretty powerful statement? So, Gracie, when you prayed for Michael, you had to believe that, didn't you? Yeah. See, when she prayed for Michael, Michael had had back trouble for a long time. And he finally got down on his back. They was working on her house. And he finally told her, "Honey, that's it. I've had it. I can't go no more. My back's killing me." And they had been coming here for a little while at that time. This has been, I guess, a couple of years ago. And she said, "You know, Pastor Thurman tells us in Matthew 18, 19. Now, this is one of the promises. Now, I want you to see this promise. How many of these promises are yes?
All
of them. Now, you know, wow. So, okay, so let's look at this promise that she used on her husband. Thurman said that Jesus said, now, and when I repeat what Jesus said, we stay out of trouble, right? It says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now she said, "Honey, you and me are two, and we're on earth. You got a back problem, and I can pray." And so she prayed and thanked the Lord. And when your lovely wife prayed and thanked the Lord for you, Michael, how long did it take for you to get well?
One heartbeat.
One heartbeat. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. And you ain't had no back trouble since, have you? Isn't that awesome? Amen. That's what I... Now, how many of these promises are yes and amen, Michael? We have been taught to believe the Bible negatively, have we not? We have not been taught to believe the promises of God like they're written. I mean, I can talk to anybody that tells me a Christian, and in just a few minutes, I can tell you whether they've been taught the right way or the wrong way. You know, I can ask a question. I say, "Well, how are you feeling?" And if they say, "Wow, I am absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving," they've been taught right. But if they say, "Well, I had a bad week this week. I had a runny nose. I still got a headache. My neck's bothering me a little. My arthritis is bothering me." Have y'all ever heard anybody talk like that? And they call themselves Christians? Is that right? So now then, if we call ourselves Christians, and if we really are Christians, is that the way we should talk? What should we talk like? We should talk faith, right? We should talk the promises of God. Just like when Michael and Gracie, whenever they prayed in faith, Michael got well and he hasn't had a problem. In fact, I'll tell you, that built such a thing in him. Cheryl's son back there running the camera, he had had back troubles for a long time himself. I had even prayed for him a few times, but it didn't work. But when Michael prayed for Scott here a while back, Scott's back got healed and he ain't had no more troubles either. Amen. You see? Isn't that something? Sometimes people have more faith in other people than they do in some people, if you know what I mean. I mean, I told Scott, you know, that, and Cheryl, his mother, had told him many times that I had a special anointing for backs, but he obviously didn't believe that, you know. But whenever you prayed for him, he believed, and you believed, and it doesn't make any difference who's doing it. It's all Jesus. Is that right, Michael? It was all, is that right, Gracie? It's all Jesus. So it don't matter how we get it done. But what we need to do, we need to teach people the principles of the kingdom so we can stand on these principles so we can get ourselves healed and delivered. Now, sometimes you heard Michael say, one heartbeat's all it took for him to get healed. And some of you have heard Jack's story right here. When we prayed for Jack's back, it took just about time to get out to the car. But when we prayed for the lump on your hand, he had had that. How long had you had that big old tumor on the back of your hand?
40 years.
Now, see, he had had a tumor on the back of his hand. He even has a daughter that's a surgeon. And his daughter that's a surgeon, she wants to take it off. But as she's graduated from college and got her a job now and everything, her daddy has learned these principles. And when she said, I want to take this off, he said, no, I'm not going to let you take it off, honey. I'm going to let Jesus take it off. She had one, too. He said, no, I've been going to a church where they're teaching things out of the Bible, and said, it works. Said, I already got my back healed and everything, and I'm going to let Jesus take this lump off my hand. But Daddy, you know, she's got too much doctor in her. Is that right, Jack? Yeah? She's too much medicine. She's in the doctor business. You know, she's a surgeon. And she had one of her friends that was a surgeon take hers off, right? Yeah. But she left a scar, of course. Well, her daddy said, I'm going to let Jesus take mine off, and he ain't going to leave no scar. So me and Jack prayed, and we stood on some of these promises like this one, Matthew 18, 19. What did Jesus say we could ask for in Matthew 18, 19? Well, now, surely he doesn't mean that. You really think he does?
Yes.
So what's wrong with us, Bill? Something's wrong, right? So anyway, we would pray, and every time I would see Jack, I'd say, well, how's the tumor? He said, it's gone. And he'd hold his hand up, and it's still there. I said, but Jack, it's still there. He said, oh, I know, but in the spirit, it's gone. He said, I see that thing gone. We prayed, and we believed it's gone. Well, I'd ask him that every time I'd see him for, I don't know, several months, 3 or 4 or 5 months, whatever it was. One day he came in and said, how's your tumor? He said, it's gone. And I looked and it was gone. It was not there no more. Praise the Lord. See, the thing about it is, God doesn't instantly do everything like he did for Michael that day. And he doesn't always do it in 4 or 5 or 6 months like he did you. He can do it anytime. That's the only thing God can tell us is when he's going to do it. We just got to stay in faith till it happens, right?
Yes.
That's the thing.
Scripture says, my times are in your hands.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. So the thing about it is, the promises are there. We need to start calling God in remembrance of his promises. Now then, when we learn the fact that our sin is what brought that in the first place, when we learn that, like Dave taught a little bit while ago, how many of us are sinners? All of us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right? Now, I don't have to remain a sinner, do I? I can confess my sin and believe God, and then I want to walk holy. This is close to that straight and narrow as I can. But if I mess up, what do I have to do?
Repent.
That's exactly right. I repent, and I get back in God's good grace again. Now, he'll hear my prayer again. Is that right? But as long as I don't stay in that good grace and stay with my sins repented, if I hold a grudge against somebody or I get into bitterness with my wife and don't love her like I'm supposed to, he says, I won't answer your prayer. So that means I can't get a prayer answered. And of course, lots of the time, since we don't understand this, that how sin affects us in our relationship with God, we see some of these mighty promises that God give us. And then we say, well, Matthew 18, 19 says we can ask for this. I said, okay, good, let's ask for this. I said, now before we pray, what are we praying for? Well, we're praying for my little daughter. Okay, well, what's wrong with your little daughter? Oh, she's got all these allergies and everything. I said, how old is she? She's 2. I said, well, you know, it ain't your daughter's problem. It's your problem. I said, you got a sin in your life. What? You're telling me my daughter's sick because of me? Yes. I said, well, how long were you married before she was born? Oh, I'd never been married. I had her out of wedlock. And you think God's going to answer your prayer? Have you repented for that sin? Well, no. You know, I know God will forgive me. You know, I'm still living with a guy. No, he ain't going to forgive you. Did God tell us in his word? In fact, let's go to Ephesians 5:3, I think. Let's go to Ephesians 5:3 right quick, and let's see one of the things that God tells us. For. But fornication, do we all know what that means? Yeah. Sex out of wedlock. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So now, if any of these things right here are operating in your life, is God going to answer that your prayer? No, he is not. And that's why so many people, they can't get their prayers answered. They see and hear. If the only thing I preached or taught you was the promises of God are always yes and amen, and I didn't tell you what would prevent them from being answered, you would think that you could do anything in the world and get your prayers answered with God every time, right? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? See, if you don't know the whole Bible, you can think, well, God said two of us agree. We ought to be able to agree about anything. He'll do it, right, Michael? Yeah. But if you've got a sin in your life that you have not repented of, I mean, Gracie could have still been praying over you, you know, and God would never answered it until you got right with him. But obviously that day they had everything lined up. It was working good. And just like Jack, you know, I mean, Jack, he had everything lined up. And even though he had everything lined up, God still didn't answer the prayer to take the thing off for a few weeks, or actually a few months. But just like Philip, when I prayed for little Philip when he was 11 years old, Philip had had warts on his body from the time he was 3 till he was 11. Of course, there was no problem seeing whose sin that was. His mom and dad had gross sins in their life. Woo! I mean, isn't it amazing how people just, they don't see what they do. It's so bad what happened, but anyway, I went over there and spent several hours with them. And of course, little Philip, I'll never forget, little 11-year-old boy there, when I walked in and I looked at him and I said, man, you do have lots of warts on you. And he said, Mr. Scrivener, I hate it. I said, well, son, there's something you got to know about God. I said, you know, if we get rid of sin and we come to him in faith, I said, I guarantee he'll take these warts off of you and the scars too. But I said, if you don't come to him in faith, believing with no doubt in your heart, I said, he'll let you keep those warts and scars until you die. He won't never take them off. So how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. And so I spent the next 2 or 3 hours building Philip's faith and his mother's and dad's faith and everything, and then showing them where they had to get rid of sin. And then after we got rid of sin and they both confessed their sin, And of course, they both had plenty. You know, it's not a problem. They were both coming to my Sunday school class, but they had never heard these principles of be ye holy, for I am holy. And if they'd ever heard that, they didn't know what it meant. And that's what happens to lots of Christians. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And they don't walk there. And so anyway, after getting mother and dad to repent of sin, after getting Philip to repent of sin and everything, then we took this wonderful promise. Let's go back to Matthew 18:19 one more time. Let's go back to that. That's the one I used on him. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So I told Philip, I said, now then that your mom and dad has repented of sins and y'all are believing, and you've repented of your sins, I'm going to use Matthew 18:19, and I'm going to ask the Lord to take away all your warts and scars on your body. I did it. We knelt on the floor, all of us together, and we knelt there and we prayed and believed and thanked God for doing it. And then I stood up and his mother said, when are they going to come off? I said, well, that's the only thing God don't tell me. I don't know when. I just know they'll come off. He made us a promise, did he not? He said that they will, whatever we ask, whatever we can agree on, it will happen. He just didn't tell me if it's going to take a day, a minute, or a week, or a month, or whatever. I said, but I guess one thing I will tell you, now that y'all have repented of sin, and Philip's repented of sin, and I've built y'all's faith, and you say you believe, I'm going to guarantee you this promise will work. All these warts and scars on Philip's body will go away. Now then, that's when I really began to realize I was stepping into a new world. Do you know, I think that was the first time I'd ever remember in my life guaranteeing something that God had said he would do. But I think the reason I did that is because when I read James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, let me show you what this scripture says. Look at what James 1, 6 and 7 says. But let him ask in faith, how much?
None.
No wavering, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now then, if I'd have prayed over Philip, and mother said, when are they going to come off? I said, I don't know. And she said, do you think they'll really come off? And I'd have said, well, maybe. Yeah. Do you hear anything wrong with that, Miss Jackie?
Yeah.
You hear, oh, no faith in that, was there, girl? I mean, if Jesus says we have to have faith with no wavering and no doubt, what do you think he meant, Michael?
Absolutely.
Is that tough? That is tough. That is tough. And Jesus knows. I mean, but whenever she asked me, when are they going to come off? I just told her, I don't know. But I said, I guarantee you, on the word of the living God, they will come off. Is that faith?
Yes.
That's faith. You think God's going to expect that same kind of faith out of you he did out of me?
Yes.
Yeah, he has no respecter of persons, is he? What he expects of me, Jack, he expects of you, didn't he? See, just like you had learned those principles and you stood on those principles for that lump on your hand. That thing had been there 40 years. And then Jack, by standing on the word of God, God took that thing off without surgery. Isn't that awesome? He's an awesome God. So what is wrong with the rest of us? Why do we not stand on these promises like they're written? I mean, I think about some of the emails I got this week. I've been listening to your stuff and I prayed. Now I'm waiting on God to heal me. I hope that he will come soon. Do you hear anything wrong with that? Yeah, there's not really any faith in that. I may be waiting on God to do something for me, but I know it's going to happen. I'm not hoping it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. In fact, I don't know if I told y'all or not. I think I did. Maybe we did. Last week, at 10 o'clock at night, Kathy called me and said her air conditioner quit working on her house. 10 o'clock at night. So I told her, I said, well, Kathy, just go back to bed. I'm going to pray over it. I ain't going to come over there at 10 o'clock at night to fix your air conditioner. I said, Jesus is going to fix your air conditioner. He's going to send an angel to fix your air conditioner. Do you think Jesus got some angels out there that really know what they're doing? Next day, I think it was, Cheryl went over to her and Caitlin to ride the horse. And on the way back, she called and said, honey, my air conditioner quit working on my Suburban. I said, let's pray. That's the first thing. I mean, I'm a mechanic and I'm supposed to know how to fix things. But when I learn I got an angel that can do it, hey, I guess I get a little lazy or something. I don't know what the deal is here. Whoa. I said, honey, let's pray. Because the main reason we prayed, because the next morning, Kathy, I went over there real early to work with the guys. When I got there, I said, Bruce, you may have to go check Kathy's air conditioner. He said, she already called me this morning and told me that she called you last night and said, it's working. Said, I went over and said, it's running, working perfect. Not anything wrong. And it hadn't given her a bit of trouble since. So, I mean, now I've got more faith for air conditioners. And so Cheryl called me and said, the air conditioner of my Suburban quit working. I said, let's pray. I mean, I didn't even have to hesitate. I mean, I didn't think about it. I didn't think, I'll check it when you get home. I said, let's pray. Is that the way we should do?
Amen.
That's the way we should be. We pray. So I took one or two of these scriptures, like Matthew 18, 19 or whatever. I stood on a promise and me and Cheryl both remitted our sins over the phone. Lord, if we've done anything, we're sorry. We ask you to forgive us. I said, now, Father, send an angel to fix her air conditioner. And I thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. I said, now, honey, it'll get cold. And so she drives up behind a truck, starts to go around a truck. And as she accelerates to go around that truck, the air conditioner starts working. It's been working perfect ever since. Now, what can we do by prayer? Everything belongs to us. In other words, if he says the world belongs to me, doesn't that air conditioner belong to me too? Shouldn't I be able to get that air conditioner fixed by praying? Now then, if we have faith. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, and I'm going to show you something that's out of this world. This is out of this world. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 13. I have read this so many times, and every time I read this, I just get the tingles or a sweat or whatever. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, first of all, to them that have obtained like precious faith like Peter has. What kind of faith did Peter have? I mean, he walked up to the little man. Him and John walked up to the temple that morning going in, and there's a cripple, an invalid, and he never walked. And he says, would you guys please give me some money? I need to eat today. Alms, alms. Is that what he said? I need some money. I need some money. And Peter said, I ain't got no money. Silver and gold I don't have, but I got something better than silver and gold. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And I think about that guy. I can just see that guy look at him and say, what'd you say? I want some money. And I can just see Peter reach down, can't you? I can see Peter and said, I didn't tell you you need money. I said, get up. And he jerked that guy. And when he jerked that guy, he said the guy's legs got strong and the guy's running and jumping and praising God. Now then, to them that have obtained that same kind of faith, it's supposed to be us. Now then, are we there? Most of us are not. We want to be there, don't we? I think about that man down in Manny, Louisiana, Johnny Brumfield. I mean, I think about Johnny when they brought him in a wheelchair, set him down right over there, took the wheelchair off and put him there, and he's sealed from his waist all the way to his ankles on both legs. I preached for a couple of hours. Then I went over there and knelt down in front of this guy. I didn't know who he was. I said, sir, what's wrong with you? He said, 21 months ago, a big tree fell across a tractor I was driving and crushed both my legs. He said, they care flighted me to the hospital in Shreveport, but said I was in ICU for 30 days. They'd done all kinds of surgeries, but he said they put pins, bolts, screws, all kinds of stuff in my legs. But the doctors finally give up. They said, I'll never be able to walk again. I said, but Jesus says. Now see, that's when you get in trouble, Tracy. But Jesus said in John 14, 13, and 14. We're going to come back here to 2 Peter, but we're going to go to John 14, 13, 14 to look at this promise. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. Amen. Now then, that promise belongs to how many of us?
All of us.
All of us. Isn't that awesome? You see what I mean? We don't believe this book. I think it's time we start believing this book, don't y'all?
Yes.
But anyway, I knelt down in front of this man and quoted that verse to him. I said, but Jesus said, and I quoted John 14, 13, and 14. I said, do you believe that, sir? He looked at me and he said, I'm a Southern Baptist. And if it's written in that book, I believe it. Now, see, he didn't know where it was found. That's why he was still in a wheelchair. But I knew where it was found. And whenever he did, I said, okay. I said, then in the name of Jesus, I just reached over and laid my hands on his legs. I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to give this man two brand new legs. It's done in Jesus' name. I just stood up and I said, get up. He reached down, he took that steel off, throwed them off to the side. Then he reached down, he grabbed his legs and bent them up under him sitting there. And then he started to come up. When he started to come up, he said, oh, it hurts. I reached down and grabbed him by the hand. I thought about Peter right there. I thought, wow. I grabbed him by the hand. I said, don't go by what you feel. I said, just get up. And I jerked him up, and he stood straight up. And as he's standing there, I could just see the unbelief coming all over him. I'm standing up. So I jerked him. I said, come on, take a step. Take another one. And we took three steps like that. I said, you can walk. You're on your own. Man, the guy walks around the podium about three times around the podium, and then he starts screaming, God is awesome! And he runs to the back of the church all the way out the back and all the way back to the front screaming, God is awesome! Now, is God awesome? Yes, he's awesome. But it takes faith to do those kind of things. Can't you just see this picture of Peter when he walks up there? I mean, this is the way we must see this. Peter and John walk up there, and the little guy says, sir, I need some alms. I need some money. I need to eat today. Will you guys help me? I can see Peter said, I ain't got nothing. I'm sorry. And just walked right around him going in the temple. Is that what we do? Is that what we do? A lot of times that's what we do. Or sometimes if we got a dollar in our pocket, we'll take it out and say, here, let me give you a dollar. You know, I'll have to say, the year before last, at Christmas, when Cheryl and I went down to pick up all those toys, as we come back, we had a trailer. Some group had given us a lot of toys for these children. And we were coming back, and it was raining. And Cheryl said, honey, you got to stop at the station. I got to go to the bathroom. I said, okay. So I pulled off the highway, pulled up to a station. As we come by, it's raining. Here's a little black guy sitting over there in a wheelchair. And Cheryl, looked, she said, honey, that guy don't have no legs. She said, you are going to help him, ain't you? I said, yes, honey, while you're going to the bathroom, I'm going to go give that man some money. But you know what? I went over there and gave him a very significant bill. When I handed it to him, he had one arm, only one arm, too. Both legs were cut off right here. He might have been a Vietnam vet, you know, and he got blowed up in Vietnam. I don't know. I felt so sorry for the little guy. Because there he's sitting in a wheelchair in the rain in a median on in a highway there in Dallas, somewhere around, I don't know where it was, Dallas somewhere. And he had no legs from the knees and had one arm cut off, only had one. And when I kind of poked him and he turned around, he had a little cover over his head. He tried, I said, sir, here, let me help you. And I give him that money. And he, as he saw the bill that it was green, he said, thank you, sir. And then when he saw the numbers on the bill, he said, thank you, sir. And I thought to myself after I went back to the car, why didn't I pray for him to get out of that wheelchair? Yes. You see what I mean? After I got back to the car, I thought, why do I have no faith in the promises of God? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Yes. If I'd have had faith like I prayed for Johnny Brumfield. Johnny Brumfield was black too, so I know God ain't got nothing against black people. You know, Johnny Brumfield was black. This man was black. And Johnny Brumfield got a brand new set of legs that day. So God is not prejudiced. And we're not supposed to be either. But I saw him do what he did to Johnny Brumfield that day. And Johnny Brumfield is still running and playing to this day. I mean, he's awesomely totally healed. But why can we not have that kind of faith? Because here's a man, if I ever seen a man that needed help, it was this guy. Just think, if I had reached over and said, in the name of Jesus, new legs and new arm, form on his body, and just grabbed him and jerked him out of that wheelchair. And by the time he hit the ground, new legs would have come out and a new arm. Can you imagine? Now, is that available? Can our King do that?
Yes.
Why do we have no faith in him? What is wrong with us? I mean, especially for me. I've seen him do awesome things. But still, there's times I don't have the faith I need. That's what I wonder. Do I believe this book? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Lord, do I believe this book? Because if I believe these promises, just the ones we've been over so far today, have we covered enough promises to see God do anything? Yes. Just in what we've covered. Just in a little bit of what we've covered. We've stood on some promises. Now let's go back to 2 Peter. Let's go back there. 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith like he had. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of us out there. You know that? We have virtually no faith. Isn't it so sad that we call ourselves Christians? I mean, I'm preaching to me now, don't get me wrong. I call myself a Christian. I know these promises, and it's so rare that I ever get to see one of these things really manifest in my life. But at least I do get to see some. But you know, that little guy in that wheelchair that day in that rain, if I'd have had the kind of faith I needed, if I'd had the kind of faith that Peter's talking about here, I would have spoken to that man's legs and arm and saw brand new ones come on. Somebody says, nobody ever does anything like that. Yes, I do know a man, and of course he lived when I was alive, but I was only about 10 years old when he died. But this man, he was preaching at a city, and this man that he was spending the night with in his home, he was in a wheelchair. And so as he's talking to the man had no legs about his knees. He said, sir, what happened to your legs? He said, I was born without them. So he said, would you like to have some new legs? Is that a startling question? It would be. Well, of course I'd like to have new legs, and everybody would. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do in the morning when you get up, go down to the shoe store and buy you a pair of shoes, the color and the size you want. He says, so what am I supposed to do with them when I buy them? He said, have the shoe man put them on your nub. So that man, needless to say, the man didn't sleep none that night. He knew this man walked into gifts of miracles with God. So the next morning when the shoe store opened, he was sitting in the front door. And he went in and the clerk says, how can I help you? He said, I want a pair of low quarter black Oxford shoes. He said, okay, went and got them, brought them to him, said, would you like me to wrap them? He said, no, I want you to put them on me. He said, but sir, you have no feet. You have no legs. He said, just put that left one right there on that nub. Can you imagine being this shoe salesman? What we have to do for our customers. You know, we have some real crackpots in here, but this guy takes the cake. Is that right? Is that what we think? Sure, we don't think like God. No, I mean, we don't, even Christians, we don't think like God. And so this man put the little shoe right there, and a foot formed in it, and then a leg formed, and it went down. And the shoe salesman, I'm sure, is standing there and said, "Oh my God." And he said, "Put the other one on." So I'm sure that he was just rattled completely, and he put it on there, and a foot formed, and the guy stood up and walked out of the store on his new shoes. Now, that man that did that died in 1947, but he was from England, and his name was Smith Wigglesworth. That's the man that did this. Now, he was an awesome man of God. Awesome man of God. Now, I'll have to say that he was on a train one day going somewhere to preach, and there was a woman going somewhere with her daughter to have her leg amputated because she had gangrene in her leg. And she was going to the hospital to have the leg amputated. And Smith saw it and he said, "Ma'am, would you mind if I prayed over your leg?" And she said, "You've seen Jesus do these kind of things?" He said, "Oh, the Jesus I serve, there ain't nothing hard for him. Nothing. He can do anything." And so he reached down and grabbed a hold of that leg with that gangrene, and as he started to pray for it, the woman says, "Do you think he's going to do it for me?" And he says, "He's never let me down yet. Never." Now then, if you walk in complete faith and you stand on the promises of God, how many times does God promise yes? Every time. And so Smith prayed, and right there, holding that woman's leg in his hands, he got to see our King completely restore her leg, and she stood up, and the leg was perfectly, totally well right there. It happened just like that. How come when things like this happen, how come when Johnny Brunfield down there in Louisiana, how come when he run all over the place? In fact, there was a lady that was there that night with the banker's wife. And the banker, and he owned banks and nursing homes down in that area. And Johnny Brumfield was working for him when he got hurt. So he was paying Johnny's salary because he had no insurance. So he was paying Johnny's salary. And so his wife came home that night. She said, "Honey, there's a preacher here that's preaching. He's going to be here a couple more days. I wonder, would you like to go with me tomorrow to hear him preach?" And he said, "Well, what's unique about him?" She said, "Well, tonight I saw him pray for a man that hadn't walked in 21 months, and God gave him two brand new legs." He said, "Yeah. Wonder how much they paid him to do that." She said, "No, they didn't pay him anything to do this." He said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Because it was Johnny Brumfield. The Johnny Brumfield that works for me? The one that I've been paying his wages for 2 years that can't walk? That ain't never going to walk? You saw him walk?" "Yes, I saw Johnny not only walk, I saw him run." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give that guy 30 minutes in the morning." Isn't that something? So he did. He came to the meeting the next morning, and he gave me 30 minutes, and then he got him walked out. And Johnny was there. He got to see him walking. Are we a little bit dense? I just stand in awe. You know, technically speaking, the news people should have been there. They should have been saying, they should have been giving God all kinds of glory. Is that right, Mary? That should have been on the front page of the newspaper down there in Louisiana. Jesus Christ miraculously heals a man with two crushed legs. But no, nobody showed up. You know, we've told it all over the world. We sent those DVDs and out all over the world. People have seen that. I've had him on television, done all kinds of things. And every once in a while, Johnny will call me and he'll say, "Thurman." I said, "Yeah, Johnny, how you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm absolutely great." He said, "You tell him my story?" I said, well, I don't know. I do tell it every once in a while. I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I got three phone calls this week. Somebody won't know if I was a Johnny Brunfield living Manny, Louisiana. They got two new legs when this crazy preacher prayed for him." I said, "Yeah, that's me. That's me. Praise God." He said, "Thurman, they don't believe." I said, "I know. I know." Now, is that true? We don't believe, do we? Look what he says here. Verse 2, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Through the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It's the Word of God. Is that right? Amen. Now then, if you don't spend hours reading it, just like me the last couple of days, I have spent hours and hours and hours in the last 2 days reading these promises, preparing for today. I thought, "Lord, your promise, there's so many of them. Where do I start and where do I stop?" Maybe it'll take more than one Sunday to go over these things. I don't know, but there's a lot of them in there. There's a lot of them. So, well, let's go on to the next verse 3 and 4 and see what he says here. "According as his divine power, he has given unto us a few things that pertain to life." Oh, what'd somebody say there? He's given to us what?
All things.
Did anybody else see that? He's given to us what?
All.
I want every one of you, if that's what you see, I want you to say it. He's given me all things. Everything that pertains to life, God has given it to you. Right, Jack? He didn't cut you short nowhere. When you got saved, he gave you a bundle of stuff, didn't he? That's just like Michael's a mechanic. It's like when Michael, say Michael graduated from General Motors School or something, and when he accepted the call to be a mechanic and he graduated from school, it's like they walked in and handed him all these toolboxes full of tools. Here, now you can do something. Because without them tools, you can't do nothing, can you, Michael? But with them tools, what can you do? You got to open the drawers, you got to pull them out, you got to use them. You got to know how. And that's what makes a difference, Jack, I know. Yeah, I guarantee. But according as his divine power, and how much power does God have? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, if we don't spend time gathering this knowledge into us, what kind of a Christian are you going to be? You ain't going to see no miracles. You ain't going to see no healings. You ain't going to lead nobody to Jesus. You're not going to be a productive Christian. But yet, how much of this belongs to you? All of it. It's all mine. So, it's just like I think about this doctor. In fact, you know that doctor in Dallas, the one we prayed for. His back got straight. And it stayed that way for a long time. And then for some reason, it came back. What was that doctor's name, Bill?
Clay Gilbert.
Clay Gilbert, that's right. I remember I prayed. He was a doctor, a medical doctor, and he had a crooked back. And he'd come in and say, Thurman, I want you to pray for this back. He said, you're the only man I've ever heard of that believed in miracles. And he said, I want you to pray for my back. Well, I'd lay hands on him and pray for him every Sunday. I don't know how many Sundays we did that. But finally, he got healed. And finally, it came back. You see, what you say is so important. Is that right? Yeah, because God gave every one of this. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Well, let's see what verse 4 says. It gets better. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. These promises we've been over today, are they exceedingly great? Wow. I mean, somebody just name me one of those promises that we've just been talking about. One promise. Name me one. Which? John 14? John 14, 14. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Man, now this young man, he's got that John 14, 14 locked in his spirit. What can you do with John 14, 14? If you can believe it, right? But see, every time you go to use that, the old enemy, he'll talk you right out of it. Is that right? Will that beast do that to us? You know this ain't going to work for you. I mean, who do you think you are? You're just a man. You can't get God to do something good. And guess who we believe most of the time? We believe the enemy. Is that right? I mean, the promises are there. Is that right, brother? I mean, that promise is there. And if you can lock that in your spirit, if I can use that verse and see God give a man two brand new legs, I mean, hey, and I saw that. I got to do that. And some of you, if you haven't seen that story, you can get a copy of the DVD back there about testimonies of miraculous healings. And Johnny Brumfield's testimony is the first 30-minute teaching on there. And he's on the TV with me out in GLC, and he tells the story himself. And then at the end of it, he jumps up and runs all over the place. He's completely healed. But he says here, whereby are given unto us these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What do you think God's divine nature is like? Do you think God is hard hearing? Do you think God can't see very good? You think God ever has arthritis?
No.
You think he ever has carpal tunnel?
No.
God's divine nature, what does it mean to be a part of God's divine nature? Perfect. That's exactly right. That's the way I look at it. Perfect. You know, we have been trained so well that when you get older, just get used to it. You know, you got one foot in the grave, and the other on a banana peel. So, you know, you can't live very long. I mean, nobody can get to, when you get to be 70 years old, today, the health care that they come out with, if you're 70 or older, they won't do nothing for you because you ain't worth nothing no more. Do you know that?
That's a long time ago for me. I don't remember that.
Yeah, praise God. That's one good thing me and you both got. We are past that stage, right, Bill? Amen. We don't have to worry about them. Now then, I really think that God has given us this health care plan, especially for the older people, and of course some of the younger people. It's so expensive they can't afford it. It's so ungodly expensive that if there was ever a time to learn to trust God for your healing, it's now. You know that? And I mean to tell you, if we can stand on these kind of promises, just like this one, I mean, if we take some of these great and awesome, precious promises, just like Cheryl and I did the other day with her car. I just tell you that one about the air conditioner in her car. But we've used many of these promises for she and I. Either she'll pray for me or I'll pray for her, and things will happen. I mean, we get healed, just like Gracie and Michael did. When she prayed for you, you got healed. Isn't that wonderful? It's awesome. But these great and precious and awesome promises. One more time, Gracie, how often is the promises yes? How often?
Always.
Always, surely. Surely God would not make such a stupid thing as that. Would he?
Oh.
See, he's trying his best to help us out, isn't he?
Absolutely.
We're fighting tooth and nail to not make it work. Isn't that something? You know, never ceases to amaze me how we fight against God's word. You know, not to claim his promises. I mean, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So if I got something wrong with me, should I ever talk about it? No. You say, how are you doing? What should you always hear me say? I am absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I am rapidly improving. Now, that will call good things upon yourself. Right, Bill? Okay, wait a minute, Bill. They say they want to hear this. They want to hear this from the microphone so they can all hear what you're saying. Let me see if we get it turned on there. I think that's on.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I'm excited about telling you this, and there's a good reason for it. I lived through this event. When I had gone through my second divorce, I found that I was so despondent you couldn't believe it. But I found out something, that I could ask the Holy Spirit to bring me joy, and it would take, he is a spirit of joy, it would take him 30 minutes. And by example, one night on Christmas Eve, I was by myself, divorced, it was raining outside, I was over in Mesquite, I was in a motel, and I said, Lord, once again, Jesus, let me talk to the Holy Spirit about bringing me something. I need some joy right now. In about 30 minutes, I walked to the desk to ask the lady where a good place to eat would be, and she said, well, it's a rainy night. I don't know, around here, everything's kind of closed down, you know, Christmas Eve. And I said, I know it. And she's real sweet, and she was talking a few minutes. We must have talked 20 minutes, maybe 25. And I said, well, I guess I'll go back to my room. And about that time, a lady walked out from behind the next room, and she could hear the conversation. And she had a complete Christmas dinner, and she gave it to me. That took 30 minutes. One almost at the same motel later, I was on my knees and I was crying out to God. Do you believe a grown man can cry tears? I said, Lord, I'm so lonesome. I said, but I know one thing, Lord. I know one thing. I've cried out to you to bring me joy, and it's always just only taken 30 minutes. I said, right now, I'm going over to Calvary Temple Church. And then I'm going on to Abilene. It'll take me 30 minutes to get there. I just pray you'll bring me some joy. I went there to the singles class. Sitting in the back of the room was this lady. The Lord put it on my heart. Well, if she's not eating lunch, why don't you invite her to lunch? So I took her to lunch. We did. We had lunch. We talked all afternoon. That was on June the 4th, 24 years ago this year, in September 9, 2, 39. 1989, we were married And that joy has never left that event.
Amen. Now, praise the Lord.
Now, 30 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you, we can depend on one thing. We know the sun's going to come up in the morning and look upon the sun like it's God, look upon the light like it's Jesus, and look upon the warmth like it's the Holy Spirit. You can flip that light on over there, but if the power is not there, it won't work. If you go back to this third verse, the first thing that God says, run that third verse a minute. It says, according to his divine power hath given us all things. Okay, that power is what? Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Catherine Kuhlman would sometimes pray and pray and pray, and that people get tired of waiting on her to come out and do her healing. You know why? She was back interceding with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And finally she got that release and she came out and she had that power. You want the power, folks, if you want these things to work.
Amen.
So before you, even in the Gideons, when we go out to churches to make a report, I always pray before I go, before we hand out Bibles at the schools, we pray that the Holy Spirit go before us. But give God time to go before you. Like in this case here, maybe if he were praying 30 minutes interceding with the Holy Spirit, and maybe perhaps even he'd be praying in tongues, then when he comes out, he carries the anointing with him so much, and he and Cheryl do, that it might not be necessary for a lot of prayers, but some prayers need more, you know?
Yeah.
And you, before you get here, before you come here, 30 minutes before you walk through these doors, try me out, try God out, and say, in 30 minutes I'm going to be at Thurman's. I'm expecting a miracle, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit do for me what he did for Bill.
Amen.
Just try it.
Amen.
You know?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Yes, praise the Lord. Wow. Yeah, if we would all pray, and believe God, there's no telling what he might do, right? So just like the joy he brought Bill, look at that. She's still joyful. Look at her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's go to verse 5 and 6. Let's go. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now these are the things you need to do. And let's go on 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. When you remember who you are in Christ, that you're purged from your old sin, you're a new creature, you're supposed to walk holy and obedient to his word. As we, the body of Christ, learns to walk holy and obedient to his word, and we study his word, and we gain that knowledge, and we live in all these wonderful places, then I can guarantee you these precious promises will begin to work for you. When you call upon the name of Jesus, can you imagine? I don't know whether you can or not, but can you imagine kneeling in front of a man that's got two crushed legs and put your hands on those knees and say, according to John 14:13-14, Father, give him two new legs. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And then stood up and say, get up. You can walk in the name of Jesus. And to see that man run and play, and to this day, that man is still running and playing. Now then, I think about after that happened with Johnny. When we went down and got Johnny and Norma Garcia both to make their testimonies out on GLC, Norma asked me about the little man in the wheelchair that came in after Johnny. And I said, who are you talking about? She said, well, after everybody got there, there was another little petite lady came in with her husband laying stretched out on a wheelchair and says, you don't remember them coming in? I said, I do not. And she said, yeah, they were over there against the side, said, after you prayed for Norma and she got healed of lupus and Parkinson, You went over and prayed for Johnny, and after Johnny got him run all over the church, said you took off and you ran right over and jumped right in the middle of that man and put both hands in his chest, screamed, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," and said the man jumped up out of the wheelchair and run out of this back door. She said, "Where is he?" I said, I don't remember the event. Can you imagine not remembering something like that? I didn't even know what happened until they told me. They both saw it. Johnny saw it and Norma saw it. Everybody else in the church saw it. But I didn't remember it. Now, is that what you call dying to self? And letting God be in control? Now just think, if we could die to self and let God be in control with these awesome promises, what could we get done? All things. That's exactly right. We would be able to pray for people. And when you pray for people believing that John 14, ooh, that's awesome, isn't it, son? Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. We got a couple of verses here, and we're going to be through with this. Let's see, 11 and 12. "And for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Okay, now today, how many of you today, let me ask you a question, I'd like to say a show of hands. How many of you today, every scripture I went over, you have heard it before? Okay, that's most of you. But do you need to be preempted with that again? Somebody need to be pounding you with these verses? If we don't do this, we know them, but it's like, that's why Peter said, "I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to pound these things into you." Because if somebody don't keep pounding these things into us, what do we do with those, Mary? We forget them. We know them, but they're way down in there. And we forget what we can do in the name of Jesus. So if we're constantly having somebody teach us and build up our faith, wow. One day, when you get strong enough in faith, you're going to be in a store in town, or like I was that day. I just stood in awe as I've thought about that so many times. Lord, if my faith had only been where it needed to be that day with that little guy out there in the median in that wheelchair, if I could have only run up, instead of giving him money, if I could have run up and put my hands on him and commanded his legs and arms to grow back and watch them grow out, and he jumped out of that wheelchair and started running around there, wouldn't that have been awesome? Is that possible?
Yes.
Why has it not happened to us? Because we have so little faith. Is the problem ever with God?
No.
It's never with God. The problem is always with us. Anytime we don't see these miracles happen, it's not God's problem. He empowered us and gave us the promises, did He not?
Yeah.
The promises are there.
Yeah.
All we got to do is stand on them with how much doubt? Is that tough? That's a little tough, isn't it? Wow. Okay, praise the Lord. How many of you would like to get rid of all of your unbelief? Boy, me too. I would definitely like to get rid of all of it. I would like to be able to stand on these promises. To a degree, I have learned how to do this. Seen many, many wonderful healings and deliverances and things from our Lord, but not near what I'd like to see Him do. I would have loved it to see Him put new legs on that man that day and a new arm. Wow, that would be something, huh?
Amen.
And I'm sure the Lord was sitting there saying, "Well, if you'll just pray in faith, I'll give them to him." And it was my problem, not his. I didn't have the faith. Oh, how sad. I can understand the world, but not the church. I guess I can also understand the church, because for the first 40 years of my life in church, I never saw a miracle or healing either. So I can't say anything about anybody else, because when I do, I'm condemning myself. But I still don't have the faith I want. And if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then what do I need to do? Do need to do exactly what my wife tells me. Honey, you need to be in the Word more. She's constantly on my case. You need to be in the Word more. Yes. I want that anointing to be there, so when we pray the prayer of faith, I love to see people get delivered and healed. Don't you? Yes, praise the Lord. So stay in faith, like this young man back here that quoted John 14:14. Believe that and see God do awesome things. Right, sir? That's a thing. Okay, we have a visitor from Canada. She's spending about 5 weeks with us. Sarah, would you please stand up? This young lady's come here. Now then, at one time, Sarah, I'm not going to ask you to quote these, but did you memorize the entire book of Romans? Okay, the entire book of Romans, she committed it to memory. And then what other books did you commit at one time? Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians.
Wow.
At one time, this young girl had all these books completely committed to memory.
Wow.
Now then, that's what I say too, Roy. And don't that make me and you feel bad, Roy? I think about Caitlin, Kathy's little Caitlin. She is going to memorize the book of John. So I asked her the other day, I said, when you get the first three chapters, that's 100 verses. I said, would you come and say those to our church? She said, I will. So when she gets the first three chapters of the book of John committed to memory, that's 100 verses, she's going to come and stand before you and let you check her out as she quotes the first 100 verses. That ought to make all of us feel bad. You know that? Here are these 15, 16, of course, Sarah, she's 18. But these 15 to 18-year-old girls that's learning all this scripture, that ought to say something to us guys, right? And girls, too. I'm not going to let you girls off the hook on that. I mean, y'all need to continue to memorize, but I just think about all those books that she... I just think about the entire book of Romans, what it would be like. And in fact, maybe Sir or somebody the other day was telling me about somebody that had memorized the entire book of Proverbs. I can't think who that was, but somebody. But anyway, I went back this last week and read Proverbs again, thinking, wow, if I had that committed to memory, wow, would that be something else? But just think, when God told us to hide His word in our heart, what did He mean?
Hide it
in our heart. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that we will not sin against Him. So if we've got His word hidden in our heart, every time we start to do something that's not according to the word, the Holy Spirit will grab us and say, don't do that. That's sin. Or the Holy Spirit will grab you and say, you have this power. Do this. And that's when you pray for that person and you get to see the Lord do some great things. So He knows where your faith level's at. And I want to see Him do great things, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. How many of you love to talk about these promises of God? I think what we'll do that next week, we'll just continue. I didn't get but about a third of the way through my outline today. So maybe we just keep talking about some more of these promises. I think the more we learn these promises, the greater our faith becomes, don't you?
Amen.
And the greater things we can do in the name of Jesus, and we'll learn how to pray and everything, and so that we really can see God do wonderful things. I love it. So we'll just continue on next week. We invite you to come back next Sunday. Saturday is the healing school from 1 to 5. It's the second Saturday of the month. So next Saturday is a healing school, 1 to 5. And then next Sunday from 2 to 4, we'll be back talking about the promises of God. So if you need to be prayed for today, or if you need to make any kind of decision for Jesus Christ, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, you need to be healed, any kind of a decision you need to make, we will be here. Cheryl and I will be here. Eldon and Nancy's back there at the back. Michael and Gracie's over there. I know that Kim is here. Scott's here somewhere. So we've got, so Dave and Jeff is here. So we've got several people here that can pray for you. And Sharon. Sharon's here too. Okay, yeah, praise. Oh, yeah, there's my girl back there. Yeah, praise God. You know, that girl back there, if y'all don't know that, you know that first time I met that girl, that woman standing back there, that she was driven to a healing school because she couldn't drive her own car. She had brain tumors. She had all kinds of allergies, asthma, been in pain for 27 years or something like that. And when she repented of her sins and we prayed for her, God completely, completely, totally healed Sharon of all those things 10 years ago. And she's been totally healed ever since. Don't we serve an awesome Jesus? I just love to see Him do these things for His people, don't you? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for all these people, Lord, that are here today, that have come. That, and, Lord, I thank You for all those that You've healed. And, Lord, I only mentioned a few. And, Lord, I just do those as examples so other people know that they can go talk to these people and find out they did get healed. The stories I told them were the truth. It really happened. And, Lord, I thank You and praise You for all Your wonderful things that You do for us. And, Lord, I ask You to increase our faith this week and every week so that we can have more and more faith, so we can stand on these promises, so we can see You do greater and mightier things. Oh, Lord, we want You to be glorified in all we see, and we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.